بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. We were discussing the name Ar-Rahman and we explained the connection that the servant of Allah is in need of in relation to this name. Then we entered the realization. Now when it comes to realization, we want to understand more of the what Ar-Rahman or how Ar-Rahman is defined. We want to create a gnosis and understanding in relation to this name. Ibn Arabi wrote, Ar-Rahman, like all proper nouns, we did cover the first sentence, but just to refresh ourselves, Ar-Rahman, like all proper nouns, such as Allah, can't be used as an adjective, but can be used as a subject to be described by an adjective. So it's not a descriptor, but it is described. Okay, now, a few explanatory notes to understand this. In the phrase, for example, the big Peter, Peter being a proper noun, a name of a male person. The big Peter. Big is the adjective, and Peter is the proper noun, which is described as being big. But you can't use Peter, which is a proper noun, as an adjective, and say, the Peter ball. You can't describe the ball, which is a noun, with the adjective Peter. Peter can't be used as an adjective. And that's because it's a proper noun. Let's say Peter has another meaning other than a proper noun, which is adjectival, there would be no problem there. But when Peter is seen as a proper noun, it can't be used as an adjective, and so you can't say the Peter ball when Peter is a proper noun. However, the big Peter or the tall Peter or the short Peter, that would be unproblematic because it's a noun which is described by an adjective. So it can't be a descriptor, but it can be described. Continue with the explanatory notes. Looking at Ar-Rahman as a proper noun for the grantor of existence. Okay, looking at Ar-Rahman as a proper noun, and it's in reference to the grantor of existence, since it's a proper noun, you can't say the Rahman Lord. In the same way you couldn't say the Peter Ball. Here the Lord is the described noun here, the subject, but you can't describe it with a proper noun and say the Rahman Lord. If Rahman is seen as an adjective, that would be no problem. Saying the Rahman Lord, it means the most merciful Lord. But when you look at it as a proper noun, it's like Peter, John. You can't use it as an adjective, so you can't say the Rahman Lord. But one is sanctioned in saying the kind Rahman, the just Rahman, like you can say the kind Peter or the just Peter, because as a proper noun you can use adjective to describe it. And Rahman here, Ibn Arabi is saying, is a proper noun. He's discussing it as a proper noun. Note, with other names of Allah this is not observed, because the other names of Allah like Sabur, Ghaffar, Ghafur, Adl, Kareem, and other names, Muntaqim, Rahim, and so on and so forth. With these names, they're looked as adjectives, attributes. They're not seen as proper nouns. We need proof to assign a name of Allah as a proper noun. Otherwise, they all have that adjectival meaning. But Rahman, we do have proof, and we'll explain this in a minute. And since it's a proper noun, you can't say the Rahman Lord. With all the other names, they're not seen as proper nouns, except Allah. And since they're not seen as proper nouns, that adjectival use is in play. So you can say the Sabur Lord, the Kareem Lord, the Just Adl Lord. You're allowed to say that, but you can't say the Rahman Lord if Rahman is seen as a proper noun. So here with Sabur, the patient, or Kareem, the generous, and so on and so forth, it's only seen as an attribute, not as a proper noun. Okay, now the issue is whether or not the Arabs knew that this attribute of mercy, that Rahman means mercy literally, and therefore it can be seen as the most merciful in the sense of an adjective, in the sense of an attribute. That's okay. But did the Arabs know that in addition to this adjectival meaning, did they know that Ar-Rahman is also referred to as a proper noun for pure existence? Or did they only see it as an adjective, like all other names? Adjectives is not a problem. The Arabs understood it. Rahman means it comes from Rahima, mercy. But the question is, the claim that Ibn Arabi is making, that in addition to this meaning, now it's become a proper noun. For example, this is just an example too. Let's say, I'm sure you can think of better examples, but you have to forgive me, that let's say we have and someone is described as gentle. Okay, so this is an adjective. And then over a period of time, the word and expression of gentle is now used as a proper noun in relation to this person. So now his proper noun is called gentle. Or if you have a newborn, you give the name gentle to the newborn. Okay? Because let's say the newborn had a very gentle delivery. Gentle here is gentle delivery. The word gentle is used as an adjective, describing the type of delivery, the manner of the delivery. And now you want to use this term, this adjective, as a proper noun for a person. Okay, now gentle becomes a proper noun in addition to having an adjectival meaning. With Allah, Ar-Rahman, as an adjective, everyone knows what it means. But when you say Ar-Rahman is a proper noun, did the Arabs of 1400 years ago, did they know this or not? Were they aware of this or not? Okay. Ibn Arabi then continues. And it's a very concise text. So it has to be, the context has to be opened up for us. They replied, "What is Ar-Rahman?" This is the exact text. Now, this has to be explained. Now, this part of the text of Ibn Arabi, it's referring to chapter 25, verse 60, where Allah states, وَإِذَا غِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ, and when it said to them, prostrate to the most merciful. اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ. So when it said to them, prostrate to the most merciful, قَالُوا, they say, or they reply, وَمَرْرَحْمَانِ, and what is the most merciful? Look, Ibn Arabi, his text says, they replied, what is Ar-Rahman? It's from this verse where he's extracted this sentence. And then the verse continues. Anasjudu lema ta'muruna wa zadahum nufura. Should we prostrate to that which you order us? They replied. And then Allah says, and it increases them in aversion. So they become more and more averted from the truth, more and more blinded from the truth. Now, here, this is a very delicate point, but here we see an incorrect translation. If you see Ar-Rahman as a proper noun, in the translation, you have to translate it as a proper noun and not translate its adjectival meaning. Okay? So here, a correct translation would be, and when it's said to them, prostrate, well, prostrate doesn't have to mean, prostrate has a jurisprudential meaning, and that's okay to have that. But its more universal meaning is expressing obedience. So when it's said to them, prostrate to the Rahman, that is the correct translation. If you look at Rahman as a proper noun, you can't translate this and say, and when it's said to them, prostrate to the Most Merciful. No. You have to bring the name of the proper noun. It's like Peter. It's like gentle in that example I gave. So here, the correct translation would be, and when it's said to them, prostrate to the Rahman, they said, what is the Rahman? This shows they didn't know that Rahman, they didn't know that Rahman is used as a proper noun. They didn't know this. They knew it has an adjectival meaning, but they didn't know it's used as a proper noun. Now let's look what Ibn Arabi writes. Ibn Arabi then writes, hence they did not recognize Ar-Rahman. If the word, Ibn Arabi writes, was referring to the adjective all-merciful, the Arab polytheists would not have denied the word. I'm using denied in opposition to recognition. They wouldn't have denied the word. They would have recognized what it represents. Moreover, if the word was in reference to a proper noun, like the word Allah, and they knew it as a proper noun, they wouldn't have denied it either. So it means that here it was used as a proper noun, not as an adjective, because if it was used as an adjective, they would have known. But they said, Mar-Rahman, what is Ar-Rahman? And then, and you have to appreciate, the Arab polytheists, they believed in Allah. They had no problem there. The problem was something else. We'll come to that in a minute. So, here, if they knew Ar-Rahman is used as a proper noun, there too, they wouldn't have said Mar-Rahman. What is Ar-Rahman? So it shows that the adjectival meaning is not referred to in this verse, and it's the proper noun. And it's because of this Ar-Rahman being used as a proper noun that the Arab polytheists did not recognize this Ar-Rahman as a proper noun. So here the problem is that they were ignorant of the fact that the term Ar-Rahman can be used or is used as a proper noun too. And then Ibn Arabi continues and says, it was said to the Arab polytheists, U'budullah. But they did not reply, what is Allah? In another verse of the Holy Quran, it said to the Arab polytheists that, worship Allah. There, they didn't say, Mallah. They didn't say, what is Allah? Here, rather, in defense of their associates to Allah, the idols, they said, in reply to worship Allah, they replied, "Ma na'abuduhum illa liyuqarribuna ila Allah zulfa." That we only worship these associates that they bring us closer to Allah. They don't deny Allah. What they deny is worshipping Allah. They worship their idols, their associates to Allah. They believe Allah as the creator and so on and so forth. And they see Allah as a proper noun. They recognize Allah. But they have idols too, and they use these idols to get closer to Allah. Now the point is, they didn't say what is Allah. In relation to Allah, they recognized its meaning. But in relation to Ar-Rahman, they said, what is Ar-Rahman? If the adjectival meaning was meant by Allah, they would have understood it. But it's the proper noun of Ar-Rahman, which they were not aware of and were ignorant in relation to. But the fact that they believed in Allah and they knew what Allah was, this we see, for example, in chapter 31, verse number 25, when it was said to the Arab polytheists, "Man khalaqa as-samawati wal ard?" So who is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Then layaqulunallah. They replied with certainty and definitively, Allah. So that they recognize, but they didn't recognize Ar-Rahman. But Ar-Rahman seen as a proper noun, which is in reference to the grantor of existence. They didn't see that as a proper noun. Here, they, in this regard, they were oblivious. Now here, this was in relation to the Arab polytheists, but we too, today, like the Arab polytheists, are oblivious to Ar-Rahman. Now their idols were something else. Our idols today are something else. So in this sense, we too are, in spiritual terms, idol worshippers. To the extent and in proportion to how much you're blinded to Ar-Rahman, you're an idol worshipper. Hence, Ibn Arabi writes, it is for this reason that we have treated the name as a proper noun. Here, sometimes in the Quran, like here, Ar-Rahman is a proper noun. Even though its adjectival meaning necessitates that it be derived from the root word Rahma. That there's no problem there, that no one denies that, that it's derived from the root word Rahma, adjectivally. But because of the Arabs not recognizing Ar-Rahman, Ibn Arabi says, we have treated it as a proper noun. Because if it wasn't a proper noun and it was an adjective, the Arabs would have understood the meaning. The Arabs did not recognize the term Rahman prefixed with Al. Al is a definite article. Like in English, we say the. We have definite articles and indefinite articles. Definite articles are like the, and indefinite articles like a or an. The Arabs didn't recognize the term Rahman prefixed with al, even though the term Rahman had been annexed with definite nouns such as Rahman al-Yamama. Right, now this needs explaining. You see, as I said, this text is a very concise text. And concise academic texts of the earlier scholars were texts that should be taught to students. Because of their brevity and concise nature, it can't be fully understood. It needs someone to explain it for the students. So it's a good teaching material. It's a good teaching text. Okay, so let's explain this Because Ibn Arabi says they didn't recognize Al-Rahman as a proper noun. Even though, now why does he say even though? He says even though the term Rahman had been annexed with nouns such as the term used, the expression used by Arabs at that time, Rahman al-Yamama. Look, I'm trying to, you know, try to make you focus. So Ar-Rahman can't be used as a proper noun, but it can be seen as in expressions in Rahman al-Yamama. Okay, now, first, we've explained what definite articles are and indefinite articles. So, exactly how we say the in English. The book, it's a book whose identity is known. It's the book. If you say a book, its identity isn't known. It's a book. So that's definite and indefinite articles. Now, when it comes to the specificity or the definite nature of a thing, okay, here, now this is a linguistic point, but it's not specific to Arabic. It applies to all languages. That when it comes to specifying things and allocating definiteness to a given thing, this has degrees. There are degrees to this. And the more specific it is, the more the specificity, the more the identity is known. Okay, so here the syntacticians, the scholars in Arabic syntax, have outlined a hierarchy. And as I say, this applies to all languages though. At the top, that which most specifies a given thing in definite terms are the pronouns, especially I, but even other pronouns like him, her, me, he, she. These are pronouns. Now this I, when I say I, this is referring to me in the most specific possible way. No other expression can be used to refer to me more stronger, more specified than the expression I. If you say my name Farouk, that's a proper noun. Which one refers to me more, I or me, or the proper noun Farouk? The answer is the pronoun me. That is more specific. It shows it's more definite in relation to me than my proper noun, than my name. So at the top of the hierarchy are pronouns. Next in line are proper nouns, like Farouk, Peter, John. Next in line are nouns which are preceded by definite articles, like the table, the book. Okay? The book shows that this book is referring to a specific book. There's a degree of specificity, a degree of definiteness. It's the book. But let's say book was a proper noun. The proper noun would be even more specific than using the definite article the. Next in line are nouns annexed to definite nouns. And the list has more, but I won't go through the whole list. Then it speaks of relative nouns and so on and so forth. But then the next is nouns which are annexed to definite nouns, like, for example, ball of the teacher. Okay? So the teacher is a definite noun because it has the. The is a definite article preceding teacher. It's not any teacher, it's the teacher. Then you say ball of the teacher or book of the teacher. This has a degree of specificity to it. It's not any book. It's more definite than you saying a book. So book of the teacher is more specific than you saying a book, but book of the teacher is less specific than saying the book, because you're saying book of the teacher. The book is still used loosely, so it can be any book. But when you say the book, it's used in specific terms. So the degree of specificity is more. So there's a hierarchy here. The Arabs used Rahman in this expression, Rahman al-Yamama. So Rahman is used in annexation with Yamama, which has the al, the definite article. Now, here, the Arabs never observed the term Rahman with a prefixed al as a proper noun, but they did use the expression saying a merciful of Al-Yamama. Al-Yamama is a district. So it's saying a merciful of the Yamama district. If you say the merciful, that is more specific than saying a merciful of the following district. The merciful is more specific. If you use the merciful, if you use Rahman, not though as the adjective merciful, but as a proper noun, that's even more specific than saying Ar-Rahman as an adjective with the definite article translated as the merciful. But using Ar-Rahman as a proper noun is even more specific than the merciful. The merciful, which is used by the Arabs, is more specific than saying a merciful of the Yamama district. It's less specific. Although this expression or title was used in relation to someone who survived, someone from a district who survived the era of Islam. He was the only person from that district who survived the time of Islam when the Holy Messenger came. But in any case, Ibn Arabi's point is this. It's a grammatical point, but it has a subtlety to it. He says, Ar-Rahman, as a proper noun, the Arabs don't recognize. But the Arabs do recognize Ar-Rahman as an adjective. And they've even annexed Rahman to a noun, a definite noun. In this case, Al-Yamama is even a proper noun, but it's annexed to it. So they've used Rahman where the specificity index was lower. This was fourth in line in the hierarchy mentioned. But proper noun was second in line. The specificity index, that they did not know. It was too specific for them. They did not know. Okay. Then Ibn Arabi says that I don't know, it's in his text, I don't know whether the term Ar-Rahman as a proper noun was sanctioned after the revelation of the Holy Messenger or before the revelation of the Holy Messenger. This is in reference to Muslims, naturally, because even after revelation, the Arab polytheists didn't recognize Ar-Rahman. They didn't, as the verse had alluded to. But now Ibn Arabi says, in relation to Muslims, because before revelation, there were a period of time where there were many Muslims, the close circles of the Holy Messenger. Ibn Arabi says, I'm not sure whether Ar-Rahman, as a proper noun, was sanctioned after the revelation of the Quran by the Holy Messenger or before revelation. And he leaves it at there. In any case, Ibn Arabi writes, in any case, that which was prohibited, at least grammatically, for the polytheists in deeming the term Rahman prefixed by Al as a proper noun as indicating pure existence, that thing which was prohibited for them was that, this is an adjective, and you're using this adjective which is prefixed with al as a proper noun. This was prohibited for them because of this very high specificity index. They didn't sanction it. This was difficult for them. Okay. Now, then Ibn Arabi says, okay, one or two questions may arise here. He writes, if it's said, what about concerning the letter of Suleiman, alayhi salam, to Bilghis, where in chapter 29, verse 30, innahu min Suleiman, wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Even the start of all chapters, it has bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Did the Arab polytheists understand what does Rahman mean in bismillahir rahmanir rahim? Because in that previous verse, when they were taught to prostrate to Ar-Rahman, they said, what is Rahman? But why didn't they say that in relation to other verses which has Rahman, such as Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? So if this is asked, Ibn Arabi writes, we shall reply, the Al is prefixed to the adjective Rahman, and we don't deny that. Our concern is the use of Ar-Rahman as a proper noun, and the fact that Ar-Rahman as a proper noun was not recognized by the Arabs. But the Ar-Rahman in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that's an adjective, it has an adjectival meaning. There's no problem there. They would understand it. What our issue is where Ar-Rahman is used as a proper noun. There, the Arabs didn't understand it. They would say, Mar Rahman. That's one issue. Then Ibn Arabi, he continues and he writes, hence, when the Holy Messenger would write a treaty of reconciliation between himself and the Arabs, he would write, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, to which the polytheists would say, we don't know Ar-Rahman. Then Ibn Arabi writes, for they always used to write, Bismikallahumma, by your name, O Allah. The Prophet, in his treatise, he would write, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the previous question, we said that the Arabs would understand what the Ar-Rahman in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim means. It's the adjectival meaning. There was no problem there. Here, though, we see that in the treaties, when Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim was written, the Arabs would say, we don't know Ar-Rahman. Now look, how come they knew Ar-Rahman in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? What is this, we don't know Ar-Rahman here? It's the same Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Here, the Arabs would write, Bismikallahumma, by your name, O Allah. There was no Rahman. And the point here is that they knew what the meaning of Ar-Rahman is. It was the adjectival meaning. The problem was, they didn't attribute being merciful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had idols and associates. They only saw Allah as a creator, for example. When they said, what is this Ar-Rahman? It wasn't they didn't know what the meaning was. They knew what the meaning was, but they didn't attribute the mercy to Allah. They had their own idols. So this is an important point where Ibn Arabi wants to kind of solve this potential confusion. And that's why they would write, the Arab polytheists would write, Bismika Allahumma, by your name, O Allah. No Rahman would come after that because they didn't accept it. Even the clause, now this is my own explanatory notes, that was the text, but even this in history, we do come across this historical point that In the treatise, the Prophet would, for example, say, use the clause, this is a letter from Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay? And here, the Arab polytheists also had an issue with the title Rasulullah. They didn't accept him as a messenger. And then they asked him for that to be deleted. In the same way, they didn't accept the term Ar-Rahman for Allah, even the adjectival meaning. For Allah. They didn't accept it. They didn't accept Rasul for the Holy Prophet. So, I mean, they didn't accept the adjectival meaning of Ar-Rahman for Allah, let alone using Ar-Rahman as a proper noun in reference to the holy essence of Allah. Let alone that. Okay, and so in history we do have this, although I'm diverting slightly from the main point, but then the Arab polytheists would ask for the title Rasulullah to be deleted. And the Holy Messenger once asked Imam Ali alayhi salam to delete the title. Imam Ali said, I'm embarrassed to delete it. Look, this is quite a delicate point. He said, I'm not going to delete your name. Your title is sacred. How can I do such a thing? I'm embarrassed to do such a thing. And then the Holy Messenger said, it's okay. Take my finger and wipe over that name. With the holy finger of the Holy Messenger, then it was deleted. But the point was, you see, this is a piece of history, but look how delicate, how many implications it has. For example, in fiqh, you're not allowed to throw the names of Allah in the bin, for example, even if it's on a newspaper. And in fiqh, it shows and describes of methods of, you know, deleting the name of Allah. Now here with Amir al-Mu'mineen, because of his status, he wasn't even ready to delete it in a fiqhi manner. He would be embarrassed. Although in fiqh, they have given us methods of how to delete the names of Allah in newspapers before you want to throw them in the bin. But the more one's faith is, the more they practice precaution in this regard. And many of the methods in fiqh, the ways to delete these names in fiqh, they may be permissible, but still, those who belong to Ahlul Tariqah and who are followers of a Tariqah, they wouldn't necessarily practice those methods. And also, although this is also a marginal point, in today's modern world, this reality with the letter in the treatise of reconciliation with the Arab polytheists, when you want to translate it today, maybe, this is only my own observation. For example, when you're watching television and a verse of the Quran is being recited, here, when you, in the middle of, you know, the recitation, so it's not over, when you change channels, it's a form of deletion which is not on a par with haya, being embarrassed before Allah. And when you look at all this, you know, modernity and all the tools and instruments that we have today, it's made us desensitized to, you know, the sacred aspects of Islam. Okay. Buttressing the point that Ar-Rahman is used as a proper noun, Ibn Arabi writes, is chapter 17, verse 110. قُلْ اِدْعُ اللَّهِ, say, call upon Allah. أَوْ اِدْعُ الرَّحْمَانِ, or call upon the Rahman. We're using this as a proper noun here. Call upon Allah, or call upon the Rahman. Ayyamma tad'u, whichever name you call, falahul asma'ul husna, to him belongs the most beautiful names. Look, to him. Ibn Arabi writes that one observes that the meaning indicated by the term Allah in this verse, call upon Allah or call upon the Rahman, the meaning indicated is the same as that referred to by Ar-Rahman. Because Allah as the proper noun, pure existence, if Ar-Rahman was the adjective, the meaning of this adjective and the meaning of Allah would be two. The reason we say, we translate it as call upon Allah or call upon Rahman, not call upon Allah or call upon the Most Merciful. That would be wrong again, because these two would be different. Here, when it says, one observes that the meaning indicated by the term, Ibn Arabi writes this, is the term Allah is the same as that referred to by Ar-Rahman. Hence, in the verse, it is said, to him, or you can translate it as for him, falahu, not for both of them, or to them too. It says, falahu al-asmaul husna. It didn't say, falahuma, the Allah as proper noun and the most merciful. No, that these two are two different meanings. But it says, call upon Allah or Ar-Rahman, they're both proper nouns and they're both in reference to the same reality. Whichever one you call, it's the same reality. Falahu, for him, that reality, it doesn't matter which one you call, it's the same reality. Whereas if there were two different realities, it would say for them too. Okay, I think we'll stop here and inshallah we'll continue and finish the Ar-Rahman section, inshallah, in the next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin.